Good morning. We'll continue now on Daf Zion. Haperet b'hatzimukim ha'charuvin. For dried pomegranate seeds, raisins, and dried carobs. Mishiyam and areimah. When you heap them into a pile, that's considered gemar melacha. Habatzolam mishiyak pilu. Onions, when you peel them, it means you peel off the rotten part of it in the field. V'minimapakel, if you don't peel off the rotten part, then mishiyam and areimah, when you make them into a pile. Hatzvah mishum areach, the grain is completed when you smooth the pile. Minim areach, if you don't smooth the pile, mishum areach, when you heap the grain into a pile. Hakitni is mishay yichbar for the beans. So when you sift the dirt from them, minim cover, if you don't sift the dirt, hatzvah areach, until you make a pile. Afal b'shem mirach, even though you smooth the pile, not minach kutoyim, you take from the cut stalks that were not heart threshed and not studded, from the sides of the pile that were not smooth. We mash up to hatav, and that's what's just mixed with the straw. V'oichol can eat that derech harai, because that stuff hasn't had gemar melacha done to it. Right during the Mishnah, with a din of yayin, a yayin mishiyakapa. For wine, the process is when one skims off the peels and seeds after it's fallen into the cistern. So over here, you have to understand that there's two places where you will find peels and seeds, two places. First place, I'm talking about chronologically, the first place you're going to find this is as you're pressing from the gasel yona, from the upper wine press into the lower one, called the bar. So there would be seeds and skins that would rise to the surface. It would be skimmed off and discarded. Then you would take whatever juice was left there and put it into barrels. Now, there, in the barrels, obviously, while it was sitting, there would be more dregs that would float to the surface. So these were removed before the barrels were sealed. Now, over here in Ramat Beit Shemesh, when I was walking home through a park, they happened to have had a wine press that they had dug up from the Zman of the Bayasheni. I hope to be able to take a picture of it, because it's very clear the process. But I'll just describe it a little bit. It has a wide open area, like a triangular area, which is concave, where you would put in the grapes. And then it has an incline going downhill into another sort of a small holding area, which is, you know, I'd say it's 2 feet by 2 feet square. And out of that 2 feet by 2 feet square, there was a pipe. I was interrupted, so I'm not sure where I was up to, but I think I was up to the part where there was this middle little square, 2 by 2 foot square, and from where there would be some collection of the fluids of the wine and stuff as it goes down out of the big pressing area at the top. And then from there was a small pipe, like, you know, a round pipe shape that was kind of like underground. You know, like there would be like around a foot of not even 6 inches of stone on top of that. And the wine would flow from there into a lower pit. So a lot of this is, it's a little different, and it's not just... It looks like it's a three-stage process, not a two-stage process. Looks like there's pressing, it goes down to a collection area, it goes through a pipe, and then it goes to a final collection area. I would guess that in the middle area, that there was some kind of removal, like there was a filtering of the large soles from the pressing process. Anyway. Regardless, it will be interesting to see how we're talking about here. So, but in the English here, they just describe two places. One is when in the bottom collection area, and one is in the barrels themselves. Okay. So the barrels before they were sealed. So the Gemara Melacha, our Mishnah is teaching that the Gemara, this is footnote 11, that the Gemara Melacha of grapes is reached when the skins and seeds that float to the surface of the cistern are removed. That's to say, in the wine press before they get put in the barrels. Now, he quotes in the further on that in the Gemara above Metzia, 92b, Rabbi Akiva says the Gemara Melacha was when the wine in the barrel is skimmed. And Aramish will be reflecting the Tanakhama of the Braisa. So, I have to take a look. It says the halacha in this matter is addressed, Shulchan Aruch Yerideya 330-186. I have to take a look at that. Maybe we'll pause and look that up right now. Okay, so here's what it says in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, Simon Shin Lamed Aleph, which is Hilchas Trumas, Sif Pevov. That's 86. Ezehu Gemara Melacha. What is considered Gemara Melacha? Hayayin, when it comes to wine. Mishayanichenu bichavis, you put it in the barrel. Yishalah hakatzanim v'hazogin mi'alpi hachavis, and you skim off the skins and the pits from the surface of the barrel. Aval kishu b'toch habar, when it's in the pit. Kishiyagbienu lahamidoy b'chavis, when you're picking it up to put it into the barrels. Shol sarai, you can drink arai at that point. You could take from the upper gas, or from the tzinor, or from any place and drink. See, gas for alyona and tzinor now make very much sense to me, because there's like a little collection area that I described before. The tzinor is obvious; that's the piping. And we call makam from any other place, even on the very, very top where the grapes are initially put. Shosi, you can drink from any of these other places, as long as it has not gotten into the barrel. Okay? So that sounds like the Gemara, like Rabbi Akiva, in the Gemara above Metzia. So we paskin, not like our Yerushalmi, based on what that says. Okay, let's keep going. So, you can collect wine from the upper wine press and from the pipe and drink it. That's before you skimmed off the wine from the bottom. Hashem and Yishiyar, the Ikah, for oil when it descends to the trough. Afal b'Yishiyarad, even though it went down there, Noitim ha'ekel, min ha'memel, min bein ha'patzim. Take from the sack, the millstone, and between the boards. He goes through a description of exactly what these are. He says what you do is you crush you crush the olives. What does he describe it here? He describes it over here, number 13. He says oil production involves crushing olives into a pulp with a millstone. That's called a memel. The pulp is then collected in a loosely woven sack. In other words, you want a sack that's porous, called an akel. And then that you put in the press, heavy beam is lowered on the sack, squeezing oil from the pulp. The oil flowed through the holes in the sack into the trough, known as uka, that was dug in front of the olive press. There, the impurities in the oil settled to the bottom, leaving the oil on top free of sediment. So there is no, what's happening here is oil is a little different than wine, because wine spoils more readily, and therefore there's a rush to get it into the barrels. Oil does not spoil so quickly, so therefore they can let it sit there and let all the impurities settle to the bottom before bottling it, or barreling it, whatever you want to call it. So therefore, the Gemara Melacha is before it's being placed in the barrel by the oil. Okay, so let's just review those terminologies one more time. Uka is the hole, you know, where it lands. That's why it says Shem and Mishir the Uka. And Ekel, Memel, is the Ekel is the sack. Memel is the millstone. And and Bein Hapatzim is between the boards. Okay, what are these boards? So these are wooden boards or bricks from which the oil press was constructed. So obviously this oil is leaking around all over the place. So anywhere it's not in the trough, so you can go ahead and eat it. Okay, moving right along. The way the Gemara is now going to describe eating it achilas arai is it says you take the oil noisin lachamito utocha tamfa. You could put it onto a wafer or into food in a platter. Avloitim lufas or lufas, you can't put the oil in a pan look there or to a pot kashem rusachim when the contents are boiling. Because the pshat is, that's a kli rishon, and just like in Hilchos Shabbos, kli rishon is mevashal. So too, l'gabei this din, one of the things that cause gemar melacha is bishul. So if you're going to put the oil into this kli rishon, it'll end up boiling it, and then it'll become kavua by virtue of the fact that it's been cooked. And the mela, you won't be able to eat from an achilas arai. So you could, the description of achilas arai is therefore in things which are not in a kli rishon. Rabbi Huda disagrees. He holds, apparently he doesn't hold Klirishon as Mavashal. I'm not sure what he holds. I don't know whether he holds as Bechlal. This is not like Hilchos Shabbos, or what exactly he holds. Maybe he's talking about whether Klirishon is not Agavi Ha'esh. I'm not 100% sure what his sheet is. L'chol Hunoisen can put his oil into anything. Let's see, footnote 17 if he says anything. Yeah, he says, if it's removed from the fire, it loses its capacity to cook. Okay, I don't know what he also knows for Shabbos, but this is very interesting. An interesting shita. The kli rishon is not mavashal if it's not a gabi ha'esh. Interesting. Except, you can put your oil into anything. Chutz midavar sheyesh b'chayim tzvitzir. Something that has vinegar or fish brine. That even Rabbi Huda will agree is not allowed, because that sharpness of the substances allows the hot water to cook more readily, so that the primary vessel retains its capacity to cook even after it's removed from the fire. So this ingredient apparently causes it to become hotter. Okay, now the Gemara makes a comment. That when it says Mishiyaf Kisu in the Mishnah, it's Dirim Paksuse. When it says Mishayishkale, it means Dirim Shalkuke, which both means that either when the idea is that from the time the that fuzz that's on the vegetable when it's removed, Mara says Haim Pakas Mishan Rishon Shalak Mishan Rishon. If he was removing them one at a time, and he's taking off, right? He's removing. This picus of cucumbers one at a time, or he's removing the shellac of a group of melons one at a time. On nitblu, they don't become tevel. Actually, fakis kol tzachi until he finishes removing it from all of the cucumbers, from the shellac of all the melons. It's not each one individually becomes kavua as he progresses through the pile. Now, the Gemara, we're on 7b, we're on Zion on the base, because of Shilach Rishos HaHekdesh. This is a question. According to some, others learn, the Gura, I think, has a different Gersa here. But our Gersa here is, it's a question which is not resolved, which is, what happens if you made a cucumber, made it Hekdesh, while it still had on the Pikas or the Shalak, Ufidayo, and then you redeemed it, is it subject to Maestris? So what's going on over here? Which case is it? Let's see. If you hold the Pikas or Shalak is Gemar Melacha. So if you did that while it was in the Rishus of Hekdesh, it would become Pater because it happened while it was... The Gemar Melacha happened while it was in Hekdesh, so therefore it should be Pater from... Chayv and Maestros. Excuse me. Okay. Now, so what's exactly is the shaila over here? In other words, we have to explain this a little bit. What's the shaila about the hekdesh? Why don't you say, yeah, that's the way it is. If the shalak was taken off while it was hekdesh, it's putter. And if you were paid it before you took the shalak off, so the gemara block happened in Shusa Yisrael, should be chayiv. So what's the shaila of the gemara? So he explains it down here. He says that gemara malacha is really, it depends on the kavana of the owner, right? Because the Mishnah said, if you're going to take off the shalak, so then when you take off the shalak, that's the gemara malacha. But if you weren't going to take off the shalak, then it's when you make it into a pile, right? So it's all depending on the intention. Now, if the owner of the cucumbers does not plan to remove the pecus of the shalak, it's a pile. Perhaps here too, the owner of the cucumbers, namely Hektish, would not consider the removal of pecus its final processing. In other words, we don't know. The Gemara is saying, even if the removal took place b'shus Hektish, it's possible that Hektish as an entity didn't have that in mind as the Gemara Melacha. Not sure exactly what that means. I mean, did they take it off or did they not take it off? I'm not getting the shot over here. Let's see. He says this is Marifold. Let me click on that and see what he says. Let's just read it. Bayahi, Patra Hector Shaloi, Hoyo Viesh Lagurin Acher, Mishiyamid Arema, Babdia Hashan Mugsov, Dumla Nikol, Lehector Shumar Zev, and Loy Patra. I don't hear that stardom over here. Like, why should, I think it's a very difficult girsa. The Gura has a better girsa. I like that better. They amend the text to read putter. It's exempt. The Gemara is saying the produce is exempt in this case. Like, that's very mustava, once the pekus is removed, if it's still b'shas hektish, it should be putter. I don't know. I'm not understanding what this shaila was. Why it wasn't a bindle issue. Okay, let's go weiter. Vegetables are bundled. So here we're going to talk about where a guy is making large bundles that he's planning on dividing into smaller bundles. He's making a large bundle. Boston last year said tina cotton. He's going to ultimately make it into a small bundle. Nitbol, it becomes tevel immediately when he makes the large bundle. Rebbezer Boyi, Adayin Lonim Mamlechas Hasode Vat Amar Hakein. He doesn't understand this ruling. He says, "What's going on over here?" He's assuming he's going to rebundle the large bundle into smaller bundles in the field. So if that's the case, then the large bundling is not really the Gemara Melacha. That's just like a setup for the final Gemara Melacha. So why are we saying that that's Gemara Melacha? Elokeini, the Gemara therefore changes it. Agoda, you'd seen Agoda Vasada. If you bound it into a large bundle in the field, who also logged it, you'd seen a cotton, Lashuk, and you're going to make it into smaller bundles in the market, then it's Nitbal, it becomes Tevel immediately because we don't care about what happens in the Shuk. The fact that it became Gemara Malacha in the field is enough. Okay? Bashuk. Yeah. Okay, this is a question about the Gersa, footnote 8 for more detail on that. Now let's go over here, and if you collect the produce in a basket, and you cover it with leaves, okay, then it's considered Gemara Melacha. If not, just filling it up. Haisa kakola achas. There was one basket. You have in mind to fill it up only halfway. Kim Shemi, look, that's a nipple. As soon as you fill up half, it's kevel. Dr. Lenz school, if you want it and fill it up completely, then it will become kevel when you fill all of it. How you start with two baskets. You have in mind to fill both baskets. It won't become kevel until you fill up both baskets. On footnote 9, he asked the obvious question, which is, why didn't the Mishnah just say a simple rule? They simply said, produce is subject
to Meiser when the farmer collects all that he needs. That will cover every case. If you're going to do half a basket, that's all you need, that's when it becomes. If you're going to do one basket, it's one. If you're going to do two, it's two. So why didn't they just say it that way? Why didn't they go give each case, you know? So Chazon Ish suggests that the Mishnah teaches that one container's worth is the standard amount of produce collected at one time. So therefore what? So I guess it means stamdas.
Yeah, so that is the question. That's from the Chazon Ish. So what is the upshot of saying that if you take one container, the one container's worth is a standard amount, what is the nafkamina for that? So unless you specifically intend to collect more or less, then we assume, in other words, the stam das is that it'll be one container. That seems to be what the nafkamina is. That's why the Mishnah doesn't speak it out that way. Okay. Let's go on a little further. Ma, b'med v'amamurim v'maylach v'ashuk. So the end of the Mishnah says, what are we talking about? That these, you have these different times that it's considered gemar melacha. That's if you're going to the marketplace. Alfa b'maylach beso, if you're taking the fruit to your house. Oichol mehen arei atru magila beso. Even if you made a pile, you could in the field, you could still eat arei until you get to the house. So the Gemara asks, Ma bein melech l'shuk, what's the difference between whether you're taking it to the marketplace and Ma bein melech l'beisai? Why is there a change in what the Gemara melech is if you go to the house? The Gemara answers, B'sha shuhu melech l'beisai b'dayte ha-davar toli. When you're taking it to your house, then it's totally up to you. You made a decision that this is what you plan on doing with the payers. B'sha shuhu melech l'shuk, but when you're going to take it to the market, lo b'dayte ha-davar toli. It's not totally in your das, but das halakuchas hadavar toli. It's dependent on whether you're being given an option to sell to the lakuchas, in which case mechira mekach creates a gemar melacha by definition, and therefore shema yimsa lakuchas. You might find a lakach in the field itself, and then it'll become tevel by virtue of the fact that there's going to be a mechira there. So in other words, it's like this. The pshat is that midoy raisa becoming nigmar in the field is be'etzem not really a gemar melacha. It has to be either roi p'nei abayis or it has to be nimkar. But Chazal were afraid maybe they'll come to you in the field and then it'll become nigmar. So therefore they were machmar and they said that if you do a gemar melacha in the field, that we're going to consider that a gemar melacha already because it's ready, could be sold at any moment. Mashenkin, when you have in mind to bring it home, then the chamim weren't machmar in that case, and you have the falazachan the dindi araisa that has to be ripened up by his mamish. Tani mishiyamid arem b'dorisha gagoi. When you put it on the rooftop. One second. This is already is I think. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah, so it says we're talking about dried pomegranate seeds, raisins, and dried carobs. It's when you heap them in a pile. Tani mishiyam and arim v'reish gagai was talking about when you heap them in a pile on his rooftop. Rabbi Yoina boy habasar lo, but if he makes it into a pile in the field, it would not be. That doesn't make sense. I'm Rabbi Kinna, the ruba salmei malach. He's coming to tell you that's afilu mishiyam and arim v'reish gagai. Even if he heaps it in a pile on his rooftop. Certainly, if you do it in the field, it would be a gemar melacha. Habitzal mishiyaf kilu. And what about the peeling of the onions? We do yirim put gura. That's from the time you remove the rotten leaves. Tua mishim yismarach. So this is already, we're going to hold this off for the next daf. Adkan daf zayin.